Not only in Canada, but as well as in the Philippines for many years as a youth pastor and as a pastor of a local church in the Philippines. And he had graduated from the same Bible school as Manang Ruth, and Pastor J.R., Pastor Nars, and Pastor Arnold, and many other pastors that we are acquainted with. But it's a blessing for us to have him come, and I'm sure this is not the last one. If you're going to have it very long, then it could be. But anyhow, Pastor James, please come.
When the choir was singing, I felt I was in heaven. Yeah, it's a first-hand blessing. You know, showers of blessing right beside them. But it's really, it was a good music. It's a good song. The statement of our faith, really, we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again in the third day. And thank you for the introduction by Pastor Saldi. So I've graduated at Bible Church, Baptist Bible Seminary and Institute. 1998. So at that time, I was young, of course. So I worked in Laguna Bel Air Christian Fellowship as a youth pastor, and then the ministry goes on and goes on. And the last ministry that I served was in San Pablo. So I worked there as a senior pastor. So the church was small when it was transferred to me. And it still remains small. Now, I praise God because I have an opportunity to talk to them just last week that one of my young people are now committed to serve the Lord in the full-time ministry. So he is now pastoring the church, which is remove the weight or the burden in my heart because I left the church without a pastor that time. So I really praise God for that. And we will be talking about church. And let me invite you to open your Bibles in the book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 14 to 22. The Bible says, to the angel of the Lord in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Verse 16. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. 17. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness and solve your solve to put on your eyes so you can see. Verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Verse 20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. 21, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Verse 22. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this privilege that once again I could share your word. And I'm praying that we will be ready to receive your word. Sometimes truth may hurt, but we are praying that we will take a humble heart and learn to live according to your will. In Christ's most wonderful name, amen. What is the best church for you? Probably if I would pass a small piece of paper, you would describe many things. What is the best church? But one pastor had listed some characteristics of a best church. Number one, he said, it's an active church. A church where people are actively involved in her ministries and programs. Number two, he said, a giving church. A church who is generous in her financial giving. Third, he said, that a growing church, a church where there are new people attending and are staying. Fourth, he said, a soul-winning church, a church involved in constantly winning people to faith in Jesus Christ while those getting saved are baptized. A smooth-running church, a church that is efficient and orderly. A mission-minded church, a church that supports missionaries around the world. A mega church, a church with large attendance and many programs. So, what is the best church for you? Probably you write down the whole pages, just one coupon band, and then you write it back to back and you would ask for more. Right? But our opinion is not important. Especially pagdating sa church. Your opinion and my opinion is not important because Christ's words against a church that is far more important. Amen? We should be looking to what God would say to our church. And sometimes we have the tendency to have our opinion. We said we want to do this, we don't want to do that. But far more of our opinion, God's opinion or will for His church is far more on what we think. So I hope and pray we should be all conscious on what Jesus Christ says regarding what the church should be. Now, on the series of seven churches in Revelation, this is exactly has been happening. One by one, Jesus examined or evaluates the churches in Asia Minor. He allowed John to write his evaluation. And I just want to go through these six churches before we focus on the church that we will be tackling about the Laodicea church. So in Ephesus, he said, he condemns them for living their first love. In Smyrna, he commends them their loyalty despite under severe persecutions. In Pergamum, he condemns their worldliness. In Thyatira, he condemns them their tolerance of immorality. In Sardis, he exposes their deadness as a church. In Philadelphia, he praises their commitment to their message. Now, as we come to the seventh church, the church of Laodicea, we find more serious problem. Jesus Christ did not address their doctrinal error or their immorality or something like that, or moral failure. But he instead addresses a condition of their hearts. And this is far more serious problem because you can go about your Christian life so perfectly outside, but deep inside you're having trouble, right? Sometimes you can show the people, oh, you're so perfectly fine outside. But deep inside your heart, you really have a big problem. And before we talk about the truths that we could learn from the Laodicean church, I just want to go back and let's see what's the background or ano ba tong Laodicea City. Now, The city of Laodicea was located 90 miles east of Ephesus and 45 miles southeast of Philadelphia. It was known to be one of the wealthiest city in their time because of three major things. Number one, banking. They were the center of finance during that time. Second, fashion. They were able to develop a wool, raven black, glossy wool. And it was, thank you for brother who said to me that the word patok is trending. Okay, thank you. It was trending at that time, the wool, they were in fashion. Third, medicine. The city had a medical school that became famous for producing a remarkable type of eye medicine. And it has been said that people with eye problems traveled to Laodicea and paid big sum amount of money to avail this medicine. And history records also that one time a powerful earthquake, and then most of their structures collapsed. When Rome heard this, they graciously offered help to Laodicea city. But what happened? They declined, saying to Rome that we have enough to rebuild our city. And when this letter of John was, the city was already rebuilt. It was 95 AD. Why I'm telling you this? It is because this sets the background for the spiritual condition of the believers in the city. And it sets the mood of our lesson this morning. Number one, on verse 14. Let's see the characters of Jesus Christ. If you will see the first six churches, Christ started with his characters. They always begin with some description about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says to the Laodicea, he said, he is the Amen. The word Amen literally means, so be it. It means it is a word that affirms the truth of a statement. In other words, if Jesus says something, it is guaranteed as truth. There's no need for discussion. Just accept it. And this, I think, the truth about God which man dislikes the most. We hate someone controlling over us. Right? We enjoy. I remember one time, alam mo naman, hindi ako napagsasabihan. Hindi ako napapangunahan. Those words. Filipino language. We hate someone controlling us. Because most of the time, sovereignty or control, it is always connected with oppression. Like in our history, I don't know the history of Canada, but if we go back in the Philippines, we always fight back, right? Before the American came in the Philippines, the Spaniard came, and then we fought back. We don't like control. We don't want to be in control by other people. So to trust anyone with that kind of power is to put ourselves into the hands of someone who might destroy us. We instinctively fight that. Lumalaban tayo. Okay? We instinctively fight that. And that's why most of the time we make bargains with the Lord. Lord, please, don't do this. Lord, if you may, can you give him to me? Or please, Lord, any man. Right? We always make bargains. We want the best possible blessing from the Lord for the least amount of sacrifice. We don't want to surrender. Diba? And last preaching that I had in Scarborough Outreach, that we always think of bargains. North America is so obsessed with bargains. We are being bombarded of any bargains. Right in our laptop, mailboxes, TV, radio, and everything. Bargains nandyan. And sometimes we transfer that kind of mentality in our spiritual life. We always bargain because we don't want to be in control. Tama, di ba? So, but the word amen, listen, but the word amen has been used many times. And napakaganda ang pagkagamit. It was so beautiful. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Notice the word, notice how Paul uses the word amen in terms of God's promises. They are 100% reliable. The same can be said of Jesus Christ. He is the amen. He is 100% reliable. Amen. Wow. When God promises you something, He is reliable. One quotation said, promises are made to be broken. Oh, I love you. Makita mo, may nag-a-love you na naman doon sa kabila. I will never leave you. Maybe you're hurt, but God's promises will not be broken. He is 100% reliable. The song says, unchangeable, unstoppable, unshakable. Grabe, no? Ang ganda ng message. So, He is 100% reliable. Second, not only that He is the Amen, He is faithful and true witness. We know a witness as one who testifies about what he has seen or heard about an event. Jesus is one who witnesses to man about God, and he also witnesses to God about man. As he witnesses whatever he proclaims to them, he is faithful. To them is faithful and true because he is the truth. As the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And last, on his character, he said that he is not only the Amen, he is the faithful and true witness. He is the ruler of God's creation. Now, the ruler comes from the original word, arche, which literally means source or origin. Jesus Christ is the source of all creation. Let's look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. Now, the church in Laodicea became self-sufficient, seeming to have had everything. So, with this title, Christ is sending the message that the very source of everything they possess, that He is the very source of everything they possess. The question is, would they be willing to see Him, to see Him as He is? The failure to see Him as He is will always have an effect on our Christian life. Let me explain this. One quotation, I have read this, let God be God in our lives. Amen. Let God be God in our lives. In spite of what God has done for you, some still reject Him. One thinks that he does God a favor by getting saved. And another man thinks he hurt God or diminishes His power by blaspheming or rejecting Him. Some of us think that we are doing God a favor by going to church or reading the Bible. We even think we are doing God a favor by acknowledging Him as the Lord of our lives. But my friend, mind you, we are not doing Him a favor. We are doing ourselves a favor. God does not need us. We need Him. He doesn't need us. God is God without us. But we need Him. So in spite of what God has done for us, many still reject Him. Well, many still reject Him. Maybe the blessing that you have right now, the material possession you have right now, remember that what you have is not your personal accomplishment. Right? It is the blessing from the Lord. What you have right now is not your success. It is a blessing from the Lord. If you always go back to everything that you have, go back to the Lord, you will understand and see that everything I have is from the Lord. That's why we should be thankful and always recognize Him. Right? Just try to imagine the car that I'm enjoying, the house that I have been, you know, comfortably sleeping at night, eating and everything. That's not your accomplishment. That's the blessing of the Lord to you. Try to always look to the Lord, not for your own self. He is the ruler of everything. He is the source of everything. Your strength, God can take away your strength right now. But He can give you strength. If you have sicknesses today, I believe God can heal us. Amen? God can heal you. If you are broken right now, God can heal you. He is the source of everything. Always look to God. What you have is not your accomplishment. It is the blessing from the Lord. So, as we have seen the characters of Jesus Christ, now let's look into the condemnation of Jesus Christ on verse 15 and 17. Beginning on verse 15, the Lord states His condemnation to the church based on two spiritual conditions or standing. First, He mentioned that they were lukewarm. They are neither cold nor hot. Status quo. Or mediocrity, right? Mediocrity. Now, back in the Philippines, we say it, mediocrity. But dito, mediocrity. Wow. Social. A bit. Social. Mediocrity. But back in the Philippines, mediocrity. Medyo Kristiyano. Right? You come in to, diba, like a Christian, Zimbabwe. I think you know this. You have heard this. Zimbabwe. Diba? There are a lot of Christian, their spiritual life is in status quo. One pastor said to me that, do not think that you have reached the peak of your spirituality, because all who are up there goes down. You always think that you are in the beginning. So all who are down there will always go up. Right? You always think that you are low so that you achieve more for the Lord. Lukewarm. And I'm sure that you can relate to this idea that we don't want a tea that is lukewarm, kaya coffee. Pastor, I would like to offer you a coffee. Medyo malinis lang na onte. Diba? We like it hot or cold. After the first service, I drink green tea. Cold. Sarap, diba? But in Christian life, hot or lukewarm ka, it is not acceptable to the Lord. Right? He always, Christ will never enjoy half-hearted surrender or commitment. He always demands wholehearted surrender toward Him. What keeps you away from the Lord? What holding you back to surrender everything to the Lord? One said that sometimes holding on causes a lot of damage than letting go. Right? Try to imagine, if I hold this hymnal for about 5 minutes, okay, diba? I can manage. But if I hold this hymnal 30 minutes, or an hour, probably my hand would start to numb, right? Right? And then, if I will hold this hymnal 2 hours or more, what would happen? Maybe my arm would be dark and something like that. The question is, the weight, nagbago ba ang weight? No. No? Nagbago ba ang weight? No. So, because it is hard for us to let go and it causes a lot of damage to you. So, we have to let go and surrender everything to the Lord. Because God doesn't want a half-hearted surrender or commitment. Let go. So, secondly, ang sabi niya, you're not only lukewarm, you are self-deceived. Verse 17 reveals that their lukewarm attitude came from the feeling of self-sufficiency. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. Satan often has a way of making us think, because of our material possession, there's no need of God in our lives anymore. Correct? Because sometimes we equate financial success to spiritual success. We thought that if we are blessed by financially, we thought that we are spiritually successful. No? We thought that if we have cars and houses, good jobs and everything, we thought that we are blessed or we are successful spiritually. But hindi ganun ang ang standing ng Panginoon. You are self-deceived. nadadaya tayo. So try not to equate material success to spiritual success. That is two different things. You may not be rich, but you are rich in front of God. Right? But you may be rich here in this world, but in heaven, no? You don't have reward from God, right? So you are self-deceived. Christians who live in wealthy nation, where we enjoy sufficient material provision for our daily needs, the danger is the tendency to equate material sufficiency with spiritual sufficiency. I hope we all know that they are not the same. The Bible says on Mark 8:36, what good is a man? What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Please know only Jesus can truly satisfy your soul. Only He can help you experience life to the fullest. Only He can help you experience life to the fullest. And then, as we have seen the characters of Jesus Christ, and as we have seen the condemnation of Jesus Christ, now we will tackle the last thing, and the counsel of Jesus Christ on verse 18 to 22. There is still hope for these lukewarm Christians. The Lord Jesus urged them to do two things. He said, verse 18 to 20, realize that they need Him. Christ impressed them that He is the one and they really need on verse 18. It is interesting because the three items that Jesus Christ is offering them, gold, clothing, and medicine for the eyes, are the very items that the Laodiceans have prided over. But however, Jesus is saying that He is able to offer them what's far more superior to what they already have because they will meet their spiritual needs. Mag-jump po tayo sa verse 20. Anong sabi sa verse 20? Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. The only message that Jesus Christ was saying that the key was to make him a part of your lives. Jesus cannot minister to anyone unless we are willing to really fellowship with him. I stand at the door and knock, mostly we use that in salvation or evangelistic verses. But actually, the background of that text is not evangelistic in nature. We always say, oh, see, God is knocking on your door. Come in and then mag-ano tayo. You accept Jesus Christ. No, that's not the background of that text. The background of that verse is that He is knocking on the door to those who believe in Him that closes the door for Him. And He wants to have an intimate fellowship to those Christians who closes the door. Na nakuha niyo po yung point ko? That He is knocking and really wanting to have a fellowship with you. Question, believers right now. How's your spiritual life? How's your service to the Lord? Maybe, baka hindi na knocking ang ginagawa ni Jesus Christ. Maybe He's banging the door. Right? Natutulog tayo. Christ wants an intimate fellowship with you. So, and then the last point about the counsel of Jesus Christ to them, the Bible says, repent. Repent and what's the verse 19? To those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, to so be earnest and repent. On verse 19, you find the Lord affirming to this believer that despite of their shortcomings, they had been the object of His love. They have been the object of His love because this love, He calls them to repent for their sin and self-sufficiency. So be earnest. The word earnest or be earnest in King James Version is to be zealous, meaning to say that you need to be more passionate, more excited about your relationship to God. How's your relationship with the Lord? You scale it to 1 to 10. 5, 6. When you pray, Lord, I remember in the seminary, because double deck yun eh. He's praying the same prayer always at night. He put a piece of paper. Lord, you know. Amen. And one story said about ministry, because nagtatawa na kami about the ministry, mga pastors. An illustration, sabi ng pastor sa isa church member niya, who knows my preaching? Wala? You go home and study. Umuwi yung mga members, go home and study my preaching this Sunday. So the member decided half of us will say we know the message and half of us don't know. And then the pastor said, who knows my message? Half raised their hand. Okay. The pastor said, those who know, teach those who doesn't know. Okay? And then, so the members decided again. Bus will race. We know. Okay. And the next day, they will come home. They went for service. Who knows my preaching? They all raised their hands. So the pastor said, then you know my preaching, we go home. Sometimes we're too lazy in our ministry, right? And another preacher said, 20 na lang members mo. Nakakatulog ka pa na mahimbing. Are you seeing the same person in your cell group? I encourage you. I'm not trying to hurt you or to offend anyone here. But I'm just trying to explain to you the fact that we should be passionate in doing the ministry. Mediocrity is not accepted to God. You should be, we should be passionate in serving the Lord. So how's your Christian life? Is it possible that Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, sacrificed His life for you and remained outside of your heart, knocking and seeking for more intimate relationship with you? I hope and pray that you will allow Him to enter in your heart to have an intimate relationship with you. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We know that your word will not return in void. It is powerful. It cuts through body, soul, and spirit. Lord, as we continue our days here on earth, we're praying that we will live according to your will, because outside your will is God's wrath. We thank you and we praise you in Christ's most wonderful name. Amen.